You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Let's go. Ed Alexander!
Christy Simone, good morning.
Loyal listeners.
Yes.
And disloyal listeners. Welcome to you all. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. It's Ash Wednesday today.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Party's
already.
Over.
Yeah.
And so just don't embarrass yourself when you see someone with some ashes on their head and go, hey, you know you got dirt on your head. I've heard that before.
I know.
It's like, just don't be such a barbarian, for goodness sake. So it's time for 40 days of reflection, changing our lives, and getting ready to do a good Easter 40 days from now. We've got a big shoe today.
What you got?
First and foremost, music-wise, yesterday was George Harrison's birthday, which we had to skip on the music because it was Mardi Gras.
So we did the Dixieland dance, yeah.
Correct. And so, and then it's also Johnny Cash's birthday today.
Oh, what a day.
So that's
huh?
a pretty good 1-2 punch right there.
There you go.
So we got that going for us, as we like to say. So if you have any Johnny Cash or George Harrison songs you'd like the DJ to spin today, it's at Alexander's time, 790-204-0. I'll say it right.
Either
way. Hit us through Messenger on Facebook, or actually there's a post on Facebook right now. Just put it up there.
Kay.
There's a picture of Johnny with George Harrison.
That's cool.
So let's do that up. We got three great guests today. We have Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News. Dan's going to talk about a young lady from down in his area who sang the national anthem at the Trump rally last week. And then he'll also share some of the disappointing feedback he's getting from Trump haters about doing a story about a young lady who sang at the Trump rally. So we'll talk about that.
Really?
A big news in Green Valley is this big thing called Green Valley Recreation down there. There's been lots of wars down there. Well, the guy who's the CEO, Kent, who's been on the show before, he's out. He looks like he had a negotiated go away. So that's big news down there.
Ooh.
We got lots of stuff to cover with Dan. And then I'll do it next segment. I listened to Buckmaster's show Friday, first two segments. Chris Nanos is the guest.
He was the guy who was appointed sheriff when the other sheriff left and got kicked out when Napier.
We'll explain all that. I will give you reflections on that interview. We'll be good leading up to Dan.
He was a handpicked by the machine.
Correct.
Guy.
Yes, that's Ray Carroll.
Yeah.
Sharon Bronson, Richard Elias, and Ramon Valadez.
The sweet ones we call.
But we'll get to that in the next segment. But that was semi-fascinating radio. Then we have, what stories we got to do today? There's lots today. Someone who's very involved with the armed services in Tucson, Arizona, sent me an interesting discussion from Air Force Magazine about an extra criteria that the Air Force is going to use starting like Monday, that in relation to BRAC decisions, base closings, reductions, or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a new criteria that they're introducing that actually would not bode well for the old Pueblo, and we'll talk about that. There was an interesting story by Craig Smith about where the biggest political donors live in Arizona. We'll talk about that from Kay Gunn. What else do we got to do today? We got Super Tuesday voter fraud. We got to get to that. Supermarkets that have Amazon's building a supermarket that has no cashiers at all. For you.
Who is?
Amazon's building a supermarket that has no cashiers.
Great.
So you don't have to pay minimum wage.
Right.
We're going to talk about, I want to keep up with Tia Gloria's, try to do a couple of stories or at least a story a day. You're supposed to do two stories a week on your social media for Tia Gloria.
It's the Tia Gloria challenge.
It's your Lenten let's be a little more positive thing. So I got a couple of stories. One's about a new TV show on ABC, which you would think, really, there's something good there. And the other one's about a police dog that we'll talk about. We have a good college story about white students win MLK essay contest at University of Montana, comma, outrage ensues. That's something fun. We have CNN so scared of Bernie.
Yeah.
That I sent you this this 2-minute story, basically, that we're going to play for you guys about them talking about Bernie and his lifelong support for dictators and communism. This is from CNN.
This is CNN on their way to take down Bernie.
Correct.
This is how fake the news is.
Correct.
They make it up to take him down.
Then I saw a Natalie Tarangioli headline on Kagan that when I first saw it, I said, that's great. And then when I read the rest of it, I said, oh, that's Tucson. So we'll talk about that. We have Julian Castro and his surprise guest at the Asarco Miners. We have a Pliskin Acres fire story. What else? We got to do coronavirus today. We have Joe Biden forgetting what actual race he's running for, which is amazing. Maricopa County becoming a Second Amendment sanctuary county. What else? We got a lot of stuff today. There's plenty of meat on the old bone, as they like to say. So it is George Harrison and Ed Alexander's birthday. No, Johnny Cash's birthday today. So. And you got to do it right. This is Ed's last day on the air for the week for us. So whatever you got for Ed, you got to do it hard here.
790-2040. That's in a number.
He's spinning the wax. We actually brought in a turntable. There's a whole stack of Johnny Cash
because
records.
Because the other stuff here doesn't work.
Oh, sorry about that. Never
mind. 790-2040 is the phone number. Dave Eppenheimer from the GOP is going to be here second hour. And then Brother Joe.
Ooh.
For Ed's last show of the week, we brought Brother Joe in. Just
in for Lent. Thank you. He's going to straighten me out. There you go.
Wake up. You're on The Voice. All right. We're good on the music today. George Harrison, Johnny Cash on an Ash Wednesday. A Johnny Cash Ash Wednesday.
I heard that. Very good. You can catch it on.
Mr. Alexander is here to do it all for you today. That's all I'm telling you.
Call me.
So a couple of people yesterday said, hey, did you hear Nanos on Buckmaster's show? And it's a hoot. Dan Shearer is honestly brutal, or brutally honest, excuse me, with Chris Nanos. Now, sitting next to him and Bill was Dylan Smith, who almost asked one good question, and then he let Nanos get away with not answering it. But thank goodness Dan's there, okay? Then I had to look up the definition of the word sentinel, and it doesn't really work. Dan asked the two best questions Dan asked. First of all, this guy Nanos is a train wreck. This, you got to listen, it's a train wreck of an interview. You wouldn't want him, as I've said before in the past, this is for us old schoolers, you wouldn't want him running your photo mat, let alone running your police department. And Dan's like, it's so funny because Dan's like, hey, look at what happened to you when you were there. You guys were under RICO a thing. One of your second in commands committed suicide on a street corner, blah, blah, blah. And you see Nana's like, well, yeah, I guess that, you know, I mean, that happened. And, you know, am I saying it was perfect when I was there? No. You're like, oh, my gosh. If he actually makes it to a primary, and he's up against Napier. All Napier has to do, Mark, if you're listening, make sure you record that right now. Put it on a hard drive for later. They're like, oh, why are you running? Oh, we had people who are really in the know, you know, who are in the police officers. They wanted me back. Well, I hope there was a few of them that you worked with for 30 years. But then Dan's like, you mean the people who let you hang out the dry when you were there? The ones who let Napier beat you in an election, those are the ones who came back and said, oh, we got to have Nanos back. Right?
Yeah.
Then they're asking about, remember, this all came, he talked about the billboard. Oh, there was a billboard put in front of the, over by the sheriff's department for officers that wanted me to run.
This is not news.
There are some people who think Nanos did the billboard.
Right. Yes. It's not news, people.
We're still finding out who really paid for it. He's like, and even Dan asked him, he goes, did you have anything to do with the billboard? He's like, no. I didn't have anything to do with
that billboard.
I didn't have anything to do with the billboard.
Yeah.
This guy's a train wreck.
This guy's handpicked by the other train wrecks.
Now, what's interesting is he says, he goes, he's like, well, what do you think about the Stone Garden money? Right? And he's like, oh, you know, we shouldn't, like, he said, well, we shouldn't be doing federal law enforcement, almost as if we shouldn't take the 2.8 mil. Right? Well, I guess Chucky will help him, the Democrat, find 2.8 mil where he wouldn't find it in his. Now, think about this. The 2.8 mil as part of a $1.4 billion budget for a necessity like cops. That's what's so crazy about this county. Oh, my God. It's time for Math on the Air. I can't believe I'm going to do this. This early, usually Math on the Air we know is death on the radio, but we have to do it, okay? So let's do Math on the Air. So we have $2.8 million. Hold on. That's a lot of zeros. One, two, three. Okay. Oh, that's $28 million, DeSimone. There we go. Divided by $1.4 billion. One, two, three. That's 100. There we go. So check this out. Think about this, right? They got to have the. This is what's so crazy about $2.8 billion. I know there's some people on the left side of the aisle who will say, Chris, I don't know if policing is really a necessity and is one of the basics of governance. We know that doesn't work in the city of Tucson. But $2.8 million of what we're looking for here is 0.002. of the entire budget is $2.8 million,
okay.
And we can't find it in the budget. This is a problem, right? Well, I don't know if I can, Chuck. I found that for those old sheriffs.
good old Chuck. I'll give you what?
So Nano said that he was giving some of his Stone Garden money to Santa Cruz County. Because you know, he goes, well, because that's a border county. Hey, dum-dum.
Hello, Pima County.
Pima County, I think, has the largest amount of border of any county in America, I think, but definitely in Arizona.
Pretty damn big, ex-Sheriff Nanos.
So he literally said, play goes, golf. Well, that's exactly, play golf.
At Tucson National, where he lives.
He had to tell you how excited he was to be a volunteer at the Casas Elitas Asylum Seeker Shelter.
What?
Someone please, someone FOIA how many hours Chris Nanos worked at the Casas Elitas. I want to see that too. All right. So Noah had a good point. He says Nanos said he gave his Stone Guard money to Santa Cruz County. Pretty sure that's now how grants work. If we actually had any reporters in this town, it wouldn't be hard to fact check him to see if he did or if he was lying.
What else they have to do?
So here's some, and Dan Shearer's coming up in the next segment, okay? Here's a great question. He goes, are you all that was available as far as running for this office, unquote? Are you the best thing, unquote? And Nanos literally says, well, I'm sitting right here, Dan. Like, as if Dan was being too mean, he couldn't believe he was saying that in front of him. So I'm just telling you, Chris Nanos you remember he did an interview on television when he was sheriff and he just kept on going, right? So maybe it was with Cavazos, right? He did like, so they showed the edited two minute piece, right? But then they added on the website, here's Chris Nanos raw for a half hour. And Nanos just runs his mouth. He loves to run his mouth. And just sounded like whatever. So remember, this is the whole thing with the misuse of RICO funds. Remember that? That's that Chris Nanos.
Ooh, those are big funds. That was a lot of money.
It's as if he doesn't want you to, like, if you're going to evaluate him as a candidate for sheriff, anything that happened before 2016, that doesn't count anymore. That's what I kind of felt like his attitude was with this. So that reminds me. So there's a guy who's running for TUSD school board. He's an obvious lefty Crystal Foster Adelita guy. I'll leave him unnamed. He's like, hey, can I come on your show? Of course. WakeUpTucson@gmail.com. I say it all the time. WakeUpTucson@gmail.com. And he goes, I don't know. I want to just talk about my vision for TUSD. I don't want to talk about the past. I said, well, maybe you shouldn't come on the show.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like when listening to the Nanos on this interview. Oh, you know, we made some mistakes in the past. But they want me. They really, really want me. That was his thing here.
Yeah.
Now, Dylan asked one good question, but then let Nanos blow him off, right? Dylan actually said, you know, because there's these vote of no confidences that supposedly that did happen, right? And he goes, what percentage of the – because everyone knows the amount of people who actually were there for the vote were so small.
And this is the big question.
Right. They don't represent the majority. This is like when we would talk about homeowners associations in the city of Tucson. I knew some business folks, developers, right? And, you know, the councilman, like a Kazachik person, we go, oh, you got to meet with the, you know, the leaders of these homeowner associations, right? And then what would happen is you'd find out, like, it was just some guy who's the big mouth from of the HOA, but no one really knew he was representing them from the HOA in this discussion. That's what this felt like, is was there really a majority of this organization that even showed up for that vote? And the popular wisdom is no. So, anyway, if you want to listen to a human train wreck, Chris Nanos on the Buckmaster Show last Friday. It's unbelievable. Chris Nanos is, wow. Just as Ed said, dude, go back and go play golf. And remember, he was, well, it was so funny. Bill was like laughing it up with him about how, you know, Nupnik was there for 38 years or something. Like, that's not a good thing. No one should be in any position for over 30 years. I mean, Huckleberry and Sharon shouldn't be there for 20 plus. So remember, the people who put Chris Nanos in power was Sharon Bronson, Richard Elias, Ramon Valadez, and Chuck. Republican backstabber Ray Carroll. And remember the chair of the re-elect Chris Nanos committee? Did anyone remember who the chair of the re-elect, because he was never elected in the first place, the elect Chris Nanos? Does anyone remember who his chairperson was? Ed Alexander.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm going to say Ray Carroll or the old mayor. What's his name? Bob.
Bob. Oh, here we go.
Bobby.
Oh, sorry. Well, that's funny, too.
Oh, Bob Walker, man. He knows Tucson.
Top hot and everything. All right, we got CBS News coming up next, and then we got Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News. Lots of stuff. Again, question of the day with Nanos from, are you the best that was available as far as running? Best question of Friday's Buckmaster Show.
All the law enforcement people in the nation.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
Wake up, Tucson. All righty. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson Show. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Make sure you go to our 2020 elections page at kvoi.com for all the best interviews of all the candidates. If we missed anything, a couple of you, when I posted it up, said, hey, you're missing this one. We are endeavoring to add those. So we're going to have the most complete archive of those interviews possible in the entire Southern Arizona region. Actually, the entire state. No one in Phoenix is doing this, trust me. So, and remember, this hour of Wake Up brought to you by our great friends at Central Arizona Block, CabcoAZ.com. Three great locations, Wetmore, Valencia, and Sierra Vista. Let's go down to the Little Green Valley. And when I heard this interview with Chris Nanos, I thought of the line from Stripes by Bill Murray, Lee Harvey, you are an animal. And that's my man, Dan Shearer. Dan, that was a fun and bizarre interview you did Friday with Bill and Dylan.
You know, I think Bill actually described it pretty much the same way. He said, yeah, that was a lot of fun. So, Yeah, it was certainly interesting. I was glad to have it. We knew it was coming up for weeks, and so I did some, you know, review of, he had just an awful 2016, you know, leading up to that election. And then, of course, a Democrat losing in Pima County is always notable, and he lost by a pretty good margin. So that was interesting to recount, and then he's back in the race, and he was, you know, real candid. I will tell you, I thought he'd be a little bit better prepared. He had no notes or anything, but he looks well-rested, looks good, and I think he's in it for the long haul. We'll see what happens.
Well, as we know, I was looking at some ancient Sanskrit in translating what nanos means in English. It means shooting your mouth off. He can't help himself. When you asked him, are you really the best they got to run for this, that was the question of the day.
That was perhaps a little more abrupt than it was meant to be, but that was kind of what I was thinking, is that I'm looking at these people. Hey, I've said this in presidential elections before,
sure,
many times, and sometimes the best people don't want to expose themselves and be out there and take the flack, and you know now that the Pima County Sheriff does that, but... he's willing to put himself out there, and he was a little stunned at the question. I was sitting right next to him. I was hoping he wasn't packing heat, but I enjoy talking to him. He's always been very candid with us and very accessible. So from a journalist standpoint, I've appreciated about that that about him. He generally knows the budget numbers and, you know, about big cases and things like that. But as he noted, he was taken aback by a lot of things he didn't know, that he didn't realize until he was almost the end of his term, or even after he was bounced out, about you know, employees speaking to the FBI behind his back about the morale at the office, things like that. And as I had mentioned, that there was one person who had this big box of petty cash behind a desk, thousands of dollars, that he said, nope, didn't know that was there. And so a lot of this was inherited. And you're right, after somebody is in office for over, you know, 30 years, almost 40 years, things just kind of get into a groove and people don't question them anymore. But his job, of course, was to come in and really kind of clean house. And I don't know that he really, really did that effectively.
The billboard. Does anyone know who actually paid for this billboard? And you asked him if he was part of it.
Right, and I'll repeat what you said. The answer is no. Nobody knows, and you know, you're not going to get records from a private company for sure. And I have heard from a lot of people since that interview, and a lot doesn't mean one or two. And who else suspect that he might have had a hand in it? But of course, there's absolutely no evidence to that. And it was there, and then it was gone, and then he announced. And Dylan pointed that out. So I don't know if that was just to get some attention, or floating a trial balloon to see what the reaction would be. I am not surprised. I would not be surprised that a certain type of individual had been approaching him about running against Napier. I think with Napier, that big elephant in the room, again, is literally the elephant, is the fact that he's a Republican, an issue for a lot of people in Pima County. Well, the answer is that the voters put him there, and so you deal with it.
The there's a handful of haters out there, some of them Republican, who keep loving to say that that Mark Napier is, quote, a corrupt sheriff. What have you seen that, does you see anything in what he's done in the first 3 years here that would even approach the word corrupt?
No, I haven't. I've seen a guy who's who was in office for about a week before he got an email from Chuck Huckleberry saying, okay, justify having, you know, this equipment and that equipment. And he also came in $5 million in the hole, as I recall, and had to dig himself out of that pretty quickly.
Who was in charge of the, who created the $5 million hole?
Terrence Dubnik, I think. But I don't know that he was ever bothered about it by, through emails and whatever. But now everyone has fun with numbers, and everyone can say, you know, in 8 months I dug us out of that hole, and, you know, shifting numbers here and there. And,
right.
But I do know that he had some efficiencies, and he was he is a process and organization guy. Chris Nanos is a cop's cop. He has always been. I did a very long interview and a long story with him in December of 16, so about 3 years ago. It was basically an exit interview, and you should go look up that story.
I remember that.
Yeah, we went from college years all the way to through this election, and he was, again, very candid with me. I think it's about I talked to him for well over 3 hours. I think I still have the tapes, and he loves being on the streets. He loves being out there in the action, and this could be one of those situations for those who don't like Chris Nanos, where he ended up, that maybe this is someone who was forced into a position that maybe he didn't really want, and I'm not making a judgment on his effectiveness or whether he should have been sheriff or not, but sometimes people are there because they're just kind of next in line, even though they don't want that. I don't know whether that's the situation. He would, I think, disagree with it, but I can tell you that he was a very, very good cop.
All right, before we go to break, let's talk about a very heartwarming story, a tragic story with some heartwarming elements to it. About this poor dad in Sarita who's dying at age 31.
Yeah, this is a guy named Tyson Hunt, and he and his wife Amanda have three little boys, and I think they're like age 5 and under. One of them's just about 10 months now, and he was diagnosed last year with ALS. It's going to kill him, and he is every, you know, week there's just a kind of a chunk down and something he's, you know, not able to do anymore. I think one of the latest ones was he can't hold the baby anymore, and he's dying, and our town has and others have really gone to bat for him as far as helping out at the house and the GoFundMe account. You can find the story on our website, and now there's some new twist to this. We have a town birthday party every year. It's called Fiesta Sawarita, and it's March 28th this year. People are going to have a series of silent auctions, and they're collecting items for that now. So if anybody has anything they'd like to donate, go to our website, and there's a email address to get a hold of someone who's organizing that. But this is a family that less than a year ago had everything going for them, you know, now they are facing the death of the father, and to see, you know, what will happen with this family. It is a tragic story, and, you know, maybe it's not right, but it seems more tragic to us because it's in our backyard. These are people we know, you know, as a community. So what do you do? Well, you do what you can do. And for some, it's giving a few bucks, and for others, maybe a little bit more, or time, or prayer. Whatever you can do for this family, a lot of people are reaching out. It's a wonderful thing to see.
It's not the first time this town's done that, and that's the part that's really amazing, is because you had that story about the young man who was dying, and they did the Christmas early for him.
Yes, yeah, about a year and a half ago, and we've had other situations just like this one, actually, where a young father died of cancer, and he had a couple of young kids and his wife, and so this is what communities do, good communities do, and whether they're big or small, and I think it helps that we're small, and I will tell you, social media certainly helps connect people quickly and get them rolling and get the facts out there on something, but when the paper got involved and then spread it even wider, it really kind of took off, so we're certainly going to help them as much as we can. There are lots of cases like this, unfortunately, out there, and this one, though, really grabbed everybody's attention.
Well, let's keep Tyson Hunt and, of course, his family in our prayers, and if you want to help out with items, if you're a business or you have something that is worth something that they can do a silent auction to raise money for this family, go to gvnews.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about a young lady who sang at the Trump rally, and Dan Shearer will share with you some of the, I'll just say, quote, interesting feedback he's getting from some of his readers. So, you're on Wake Up Tucson. You're on 10:30 The Voice. Johnny on the highway, man. Can you see Johnny flying a spaceship? I can. Wake up, 10:30, the boys.
Heck yeah.
Wear a rainbow and everything's okay?
Yeah, everything's
hey,
okay.
Hey, 6:50 in the morning. We're hanging out with Dan Shearer, Green Valley News, Sarita Sun. And Dan, a young lady got to sing at the presidential rally in front of thousands of people and seen by millions on television. And tell us the story and tell us the interesting reaction you're getting from a few folks down in your area.
Well, her name is Yvette Sereno. She has sung around these parts for years. She was on American Idol back 10, 12 years ago. That's when she went by Yvette Gonzalez. She lives in Sahuarita. She used to work for the police department, which we got to know her. She was in the records department, so I've known her for years. And she is about the nicest person you could ever meet. And a few months ago, and she has got an incredible voice. A few months ago, she was singing at a Pima County GOP event, and she said, you know what, this is my heart, to sing the national anthem. I think it unifies people, regardless of where you are politically. And she is a Republican, dyed in the wool, however, not offensive in the least. That is just completely contrary to her nature. So she certainly likes to hear people out and you know, tumble other ideas through her mind. So she starts networking, basically, a few months ago. Then Lara Trump was in town, and she did a little bit more, and then she starts friending campaign people through social media, and one thing leads to another, and she gets a phone call a couple weeks before the Trump event, which is a week ago today, and they said, you available, and they didn't say for what. They just wanted the demo tape, so she did it and got it to them, and on the Monday before that Wednesday rally, they said, we want you to sing the national anthem. She sends me an email and says, can't tell you what's going on, but on Thursday, I'm going to have a story for you. Now, that's an awful thing to do to a newsman, but
sure.
I said, okay, but we ended up talking Wednesday night, and to me, the story was not local woman sings for Trump, but rather, how do you land a gig like that? You know,
right.
What are the ins and outs, and what was it like in there, and meeting all these people behind the scenes, and, you know, most of the things that most of us will never get to see. So that's what the story was about, and I will tell you that overwhelmingly there was positive response, but there were a lot of people who simply cannot be happy for someone who had a big event in her life, and they're politicizing everything, and it was really unfortunate. I got a phone call from one woman who was so angry, could hardly understand her. She left a voicemail, which is a good thing that she didn't get me on the phone. But I believe she quit the paper, but she was sputtering and spitting so much I didn't quite catch her address. So, lady, you got your paper today. And so if you want to quit, you'll have to call us again, though I doubt you're listening to this show. So anyway, and she just said, you know, this is deplorable. We do not want to go and look at our front page and see a picture of Donald Trump Jr., which was on the front page. She was posing with him for a photo, and she got a picture with Debbie Lesko, who's a representative from Arizona, and as you do when you are in those situations. And so everybody in Green Valley was greeted by Trump Jr. that day on the very front page, and it was pretty darn big, because you know what? We think this is a big deal, and we had a local tie to it. So we're just telling a story about a woman who's singing the national anthem, and probably what really ticked him off is she said, yeah, what I really want to do is sing at the inauguration when he's reelected. Mm-hmm. Now, you can only imagine how that set people off, because she's making the assumption he's going to be reelected. And so I'll tell you, though, most people, though, very happy for her, recognized what the story was, which was not meant to be political in nature, but rather simply a celebration of a big day for a local resident.
So if you are a regular reader of the Green Valley News, you know that, especially over the last, I don't know, at least the last year or so, the drama at the Green Valley Recreation World has been hot and heavy. And Kent Blumenthal, who's been on the show before, actually went away yesterday.
He did. He was the CEO for about 6 years, and I think for 4 years things went well. But, you know, in the real lesson for people outside of this area, because most people don't care about Green Valley Rec unless you live here, but is that a board needs to be listened to. But for years, I believe, some people would disagree with me, we had weak boards that would just let the CEO do whatever he wanted, because he was the paid guy, and doggone it, we're retired and we're not getting paid for this. And so they just kind of let him do. what he wanted. Well, 2 years ago, they got a board in there that said, no, we want to understand this. We want to know where every penny is going. Or we want to know how many employees we have and what we're paying them and why we're paying them and what is the vision for Green Valley Rec and therefore Green Valley, because it is such a big player here. That really was the key. What's the future of Green Valley? So there was a disagreement with the board. The first year, it was basically a 6-6 tie on the board, which is, you know, mental note, don't ever have an even number of people on your board.
Correct.
So we had a whole year basically nothing getting done. Then they got a majority this year, 7-5, and Kent was just taking it on the chin and giving it right back. And he has thin skin. I think he's a very strong leader. And we did some tough reporting on this. And I have been raked across the coals in social media, phone calls, emails, people trying to get me fired. You know, the whole bit over this, I'm thinking, good grief, people. It's a recreational organization. But it's a big deal here in town. So he yesterday finally, my guess, no one will say it, my guess is they put an offer on the table and said, we'd love you to go away and here's some money. And he took it, but no one will confirm that. There's a meeting today that I plan to be at. We'll see how it goes. But a lot of people are upset that he basically was ousted. He, like I said, I want to reiterate, I think he's a really good leader and a great guy. I personally like him quite a bit. I do think there were some missteps, but ultimately the board wins.
So were the some of the demands of the seven, were they unreasonable?
No, I don't think so. But a board is supposed to deal with the CEO, not go around him and start directing staff. And some people felt they started doing that.
Sure.
And I would say, yeah, maybe they did. But that is really for the CEO to do. You tell me what you want the people to do, and I'll tell them that, because they shouldn't be getting directions from 12 people. There was a little bit of that. Plus, they were asking for a lot of records. They brought in an accountant because they wanted to double and triple check things. And then there were some issues of trust. Never was there any sense that there's anything nefarious going on, and there wasn't. Kent's certainly not like that, and no one really suggested that. But the thought was, you know, wait a minute, we have accountants, and we have an outside accountant. Now you want to bring in another one? Why don't you trust us? So it was a back and forth, and the board won, and I think the board should win. And so we'll see how this plays out. We're in the market for a new CEO of Green Valley Recreation.
Where did you? What was a moment that something that Kent did that you knew that this was heading the wrong way?
In October, after he had received some criticism at a meeting, he took his time at the meeting and read a rebuke of the board, and he just went after him. And I knew at that point, it's just a question of time. Really a bad move, and he just boiled over, is what it amounted to, and gave everybody a copy of it and said, here's what I think. Well, we all knew what he thought, but he had never verbalized it. And then he did.
Dan Shearer, thanks for the good reporting. Thanks for the great questions with Nanos last Friday. You did a great job with that, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
There is Dan Shearer, Green Valley News editor, Sarita Sun, WIC Newspaper's editorial director. We come back. We got Dave Eppenheimer from the Pima GOP. And then in the second hour, I am going to share with you something the Air Force is looking as a new criteria to whether or not they want to keep your base open in your city. And I don't know if it really bodes well for the old Pueblo. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.